Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Today, we're going to preview the 2025 Arnold Palmer Invitational, another elevated event, folks. We have 70 players in the field. T50 in ties, though. We do have a cut at least this week, which will be promising. We'll recap the weekend at the Cognizant and talk a little full swing. And if you're just checking in, LA has locked up the number one seed in the postseason at TGL. So that's big boy stuff. Before we get to all that, you can find me on Twitter at BDN, trick the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
Not great, because just an epic collapse by the Bay. An epic all-time, up 3-0, lose 4-3, collapse by the Bay. So not a great start to the day. Otherwise, I am okay. How are you?
Yeah, what I would expect, I guess, from if we started the season, we're going to give TGL updates, but here we are. I kind of joked with you off air. That's the most Bay thing to do, show up in San Jose Sharks here and then blow it like that. That just sums them up beautifully. So at least they're playing the part well. We'll give them that. But that just means the rematch in the postseason is going to be that much sweeter.
Oh, it could be.
Those are the two best teams, essentially. So, well, Atlanta's getting better.
Atlanta's not better. Too far behind. Yeah. Atlanta's the third best team, and so now it's going to be the Bay against Atlanta, and LA gets, I think, like probably Boston. I think Boston can get in if they win by more than four or something. I don't know.
Oh, so tonight's but a New big York's, night.
Whew. Yeah, New York's in there now, but if Boston wins by four more points or something, that's what Keegan was saying earlier, because he said they have a new hammer strategy. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out this evening.
Keegan's gonna be so screwed when you realize there's no hammer in the Ryder Cup next year.
Yeah,
this year it's gonna screw him up quite a bit.
Maybe they, because of TGL, that we start bringing hammers out in golf, like in match play golf, like the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup.
The Ryder Cup or President's Cup would be pretty cool, because there's already enough pressure on there. You start throwing some things out there, like that would be wild. But they'd have to do a lot of things to change that, of course. Yeah, it's not going to happen. But before we get to this week's tournament at the API, let's talk Cognizant real quick. We have another first-time winner on tour here with Joe Highsmith, who made the cut on the number and then shot back-to-back 64s on the weekend, which is insane because, yes, day one we saw just ridiculous score. We were texting each other wondering what the heck happened to this place. It got a little tougher as the week went on. Still was not as tough as usual, but pretty impressive stuff from Highsmith. And any other thoughts on the Cognizant Classic?
Yeah, I mean, the opening 59. Did you ever think you'd see a 59?
Not at
PGA National. No. I mean, I think everybody was shocked at how low, because there was a lot of other really good scores as well in round one. It did get tougher that afternoon. So the morning on Thursday was by far the easiest. But it's not like it got incredibly hard after that. I don't know if it was the wind. They said that the greens were playing soft to begin the week. At the end of the week, they were like almost burnt up. I don't know if you watched any of it on Sunday or not.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
But, you know, approach shots were going over the greens that I think guys were thinking were going to stick. So it started to get a little bit more difficult, but yeah, not the PGA National that we're used to. And yeah, I mean, Highsmith shoots 65 and then 72. Has to make like a 3 or 4 footer to make the cut, and then 64-64 on the weekend to win by two. I didn't see it coming. I really thought it was going to be a Michael Kim versus Jake Knapp type of thing, and they both just were terrible on Sunday. So I don't know.
I guess the one bright side is Kim keeps doing it right now.
Yeah,
keep waiting for it to disappear, and he keeps contending. We'll see how he does this week at the API. But he's, you know, been in a couple elevateds, or at least one elevated already. Held his own there, so we'll see how that continues to go for Michael Kim, because it's weird. I've been thinking inside my brain the last couple of weeks, going, I think this is how we kind of went around with Max Homa at first. He's a cool Twitter presence. Now he starts to play well, and then he started playing poorly, disappeared. Now Kim's doing the Twitter thing and playing well. It's like, okay, let's hope this ends a little differently. We shall see. But yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think Michael Kim is, you know, they were telling a lot of. I forgot that he won the 2018 John Deere.
Yeah, like a landslide, just smoked the field,
and then didn't make a cut for like 26 straight events or something.
Yep.
I forgot about all that. I mean, it's just so much that goes on in golf. It's hard to remember all the stuff that's happening. But yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Michael Kim. I think he's. Yes. I don't, you know, follow him. That I don't read everything. I did read the stuff that he put on Twitter today, but yep. I just think it's a good story, and he's starting to play pretty well.
His Sunday evening or Monday morning tweets, like when he recaps the golf tournament, I think it's what you're referring to.
Yeah,
are always great. It's like five-ish tweet thread, but talks about the course, talks about how he did, talked about all the different things that we don't ever get to see, essentially. And right. It's really cool to kind of put things together when he'll let you know flat out, like, well, this is why players are doing this badly or something, where we can't figure that out from TV. And that's like kind of cool stuff for maybe golf nerds to figure out that to get an inside track. And that's like, why can't the beat reporters do this again? Like, where are these guys? They're great on Full Swing, of course. You know, Dan Rappaport doing his thing. But, like, why can't we get these guys actually doing something week to week on the golf course? But that's a whole other podcast for another day, probably. Yeah, tournament was good. I enjoyed seeing Highsmith win just because, you know, it's like Campbell last week. We get these guys because good old Monday Q on Twitter, one of the best Twitter accounts out there. He said, whispers quietly, Joe Highsmith wouldn't be in the field next year because of the new rules coming into play with the field sizes and all that. So I like seeing these guys win because now they have to be in the field, essentially, right. Is what it comes down to. So it's going to kind of screw up some of these elites like the Fowlers and, you know, JTs who are not seeing this week at API. These guys got to start actually playing golf to get their butts in these tournaments, which at least I respect that aspect of it.
So. Yeah, I agree. That's why it's so much better than any other golf product out there. That plays 54 holes.
I wonder when these groups merge, because it'll happen someday. Who knows when, but it will happen. It might not be a full merge, but you know what I'm trying to say. I wonder if they'll change back to having like 156 golfer fields, because if they bring some of these other guys back, it's going to really complicate things.
Yeah, I'd say they're going to have to. Did you see the tweet about Freddie Couples, what he said about Brooks?
Which is interesting because Freddie's been pretty anti-Liv, like hard about it. But then to mention, I see Brooks all the time and, you know, he wants to be back badly, which we saw him at TGL recently. We've seen him hanging out, so it makes sense.
I also heard a rumor that Bryson may be coming back as well, one way or the other, because they're not going to give him as much money as what he was requesting or something. So,
yeah, good for him, because he should request everything they own, because he is the only reason people give a shit about Liv right now. Like, he's the only one that has grown that product, basically. Yes. So I would walk in, like, here's like 15 zeros and you can pick the number in front of it or something.
Right.
Like, figure it out.
I understand. Yeah.
Let's see how much money you guys really have.
Right.
Would be the game we'd be playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. Lastly, before we get into the API again, elevated event, it'll be a quick show. Full Swing, we mentioned it last episode, was coming out like the next day after we recorded or something. And Jesse and I were texting each other on the first day because we were both watching it. I finished all 7 episodes. Jesse's been through 6. I'll let you have the floor. Any thoughts? Because they do such a good job. Like, I wish other sports would do it like this. There's just something about it.
Yeah. In the past, I haven't been as big of a fan of it because, like, we follow the sport week in and week out. They hadn't added much, in my opinion, in the past. This year, I do think it's drastically different that they obviously were led into the Masters. I mean, you know, just as well as I do, how prestigious that event is, how much we love that event and how cool that event is, and how little is kind of known about it because of just overall how Augusta National is. So that starting that out like that was insane and amazing. And it was really cool to see, for them to have, what's his name? The AM on there from Ohio State. I can't think of his name now. And kind of show that aspect of like how the amateur plays into stuff at Augusta National, but also, you know, just his kind of life at the time. So I thought that was really awesome. I made a couple notes here. The second episode, we've never been big fans of the Zurich, but that
it made me want to be a fan of this.
Yeah, movie. It made me like dessert more. That was weird. Episode 3, I mean, I forgot. Because you don't think about it all the time, how ridiculous that morning was that Scotty Scheffler got arrested. I mean, like, I still, looking back on it, can't believe that it happened. It was the most ridiculous morning in the history of man. And then that, I think that same episode had the U.S. Open in it, right?
Yeah, because it shows Rory just missing putts and that.
Yeah.
And he storms off because that's when the divorce stuff started. There was a lot to unpack in that episode.
Yeah. The divorce stuff, I think, was at the PGA, and then, you know, a month later, it's the U.S. Open. But yeah,
So it's still going. Yeah, okay, because I got you now.
I forgot that Bryson was up 3 going into round 4 at the U.S. Open. Because everybody like wants to pretend like it was a Rory collapse, and obviously he did miss 2 makeable putts there at the end, but. You know, to get himself in that position and for Bryson to back up too. I mean, it's not like, and I know it's a very difficult place, this U.S. Open, but, you know, everybody kind of gives Rory shit about that. And I don't know, but I think the bigger story would have been if Bryson didn't win that tournament, how much he collapsed on it. You know what I'm saying? And then episode 4, my last one was like, it was cool to see give the caddies some love. Cause that's something again that we don't see a lot of, on tour, but, yeah, if you got any thoughts on the rest of them. I fell asleep during the, like, next episode. It was boring me to death talking about trying to make the Olympic team. I don't give a fuck. Woodland was okay. And then the last one, I can't even remember what it was now. We just went over this.
Yeah, so it started out great, yes. And even, like, I'm looking at TMZ just to get the names of the episodes. Not TMZ, IMDb, and the rankings for each episode kind of go down as the season goes on as well. I'll just go my quick thoughts here. Like, the first episode, just highlighting Ludwig, and then also Neil Shipley, though, like, to get to the ends of it. I think it was awesome because it's like,
yeah.
I think it was right after Ludwig basically wins the Genesis, and now we're watching this, so you kind of see the whole wave of what he's done. Shipley going back to his, like, college room where he's got, like, beer cans stacking up, but, like, people can relate to these things if you've been in college. Yes, so 100%. It was pretty cool to see a dude like doing this and just grabs his buddy, like, hey, come caddy for me at the Masters. Teacher doesn't believe that's where we're at right now. Like, that stuff's like wild. That was really cool to kind of like get the behind the scenes.
Having people in his, like, he's having group projects with text him saying, are you playing the Masters right now?
Like, we saw you on TV. What is this? Yeah. So that's pretty cool because, like, I don't know where my head would be to be able to play that well. Make the cut, go play with Tiger, actually beat Tiger that day.
Yeah, Tiger on Sunday, too. I forgot about that.
Like, checking all the boxes. So that was a really, like, great episode to kick things off. Yes. Because you could have started with Scotty and just, like, put straight drama to it. But, like, no, let's do something, like, light, come to it. So that makes a lot of sense. Then, like, episode 2, yeah, that it was a combination of the Zurich with these guys also trying to make the President's Cup with the Canadians. So it was kind of a really cool yin and yang to it because you got to see the elites of the Rorys and the Lowry, and then you got to put the Canadians together. So that was of Hadwin and Taylor. So that was, and like you said, I've never turned on the Zurich in my life. Never once. Like, we don't even do a show that week. We just pretend it doesn't exist. I don't know if we'll ever do a show because the DFS angle still seems very difficult.
Right.
But if they can make it more entertaining, like, I'm in. Like, that was pretty cool stuff. That was fun. Anytime DeChambeau's on, I'm in. Just because the guy, you don't like, we knew what he was going to say because we've seen all these clips because he didn't do any interviews. But to see that whole US Open and some other factors there was fun. Scotty, the arrest, that was where things got real, real interesting on episode 4. But also, I forgot the Saheed stuff, man, where he gave himself a 2-stroke penalty and it cost him basically a tied for second, which was like $3 million or something.
Yeah. That poor guy only won $7.5 million.
But, like, and then he also talked about his caddy who left, and he used to be, like, that was a kind of interesting story. I didn't know anything about that. So
I agree.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, the tickets to Paris, like, for as interesting as Minwuli is, they didn't do that justice is all I can say. That was pretty rough. The Gary Woodland stuff, good story. How it paired with Justin Rose, they tried to connect it. Could care less about the Justin Rose part, honestly. I really could, like, even in his interviews, he had like 3 advertisements on. The dude just can't help himself. And then the President's Cup, that's the one that Jesse has not seen. It was good. It was mainly there, I think, to splice together the Keegan Bradley Ryder Cup stuff to get ready for this year. And also, like I was telling, the best part about it, I guess, if you're looking for the heartstring moments, it's Camila Villegas' wife, who's like best friends with Keegan's wife. And Camila was a captain on the international team, so on and so forth. So kind of brought that together in the end. Didn't really care that much. Like, it wasn't anything close to the way the Ryder Cup was on the season before, right, where you got guys swinging at each other and all that. None of that happened. But it was a good season. I enjoyed it. I hope they keep doing it. And they've already got some fun stuff to record this season if it pans out. So,
yeah,
it could be interesting. All right. It's probably one of our longest intros of the year, but that's fun because Full Swing was cool stuff. Let's get into the Arnold Palmer Invitational. The Puerto Rico Open is also going on this week. We will not be covering it as there's really no pricing out yet to discuss for you guys. And if it did, it just came out and I'm not prepped for that one just yet. So API only, again, T70 or 70 in the field, T50 in ties, make it to the weekend. Jesse, what do you have for some past event history?
Yeah, last year, Scottie Scheffler won 15 under, 5 shots over Wyndham Clark. 2023 was Kurt Kitayama, 9 under, 1 shot over Harris English and Rory McIlroy. 2022 was Scottie Scheffler, 5 under, 1 shot over Hatton, Horschel, and Hovland. 2021 was Bryson, 11 under, 1 shot over Lee Westwood. 2020 was Tyrell Hatton, 4 under, 1 shot over Mark Leishman. 2019, Francisco Molinari, 12 under, 2 shots over Matt Fitzpatrick. 2018 was Rory McIlroy, 18 under, 3 shots over Bryson. Jason Day is a past champion. Tiger Woods has won this 8 times.
Yeah, Eldrick, I can't wait till someday we just kind of get over the he's wins this many times, but it's always going to be the same. Yes, Arnold Palmer Invitational, Bay Hill Golf and Club and Tree Club, or Club and Lodge. It depends on which one you read with Bay Hill. No, it's Bay Hill. And it's a staple on the tour. It's one of the best events out there, I think, because it challenges a lot of aspects of the game. Like, probably being balanced is the best way to approach this week. But we've seen guys like Bryson use the DJ that one time. Like, the driver does give you an advantage, but the rough is penal here, unlike the Cognizant. It's a par 72, 7,460 yards, so a little less than 7,500 yards. It's obviously in Florida, so you get the Bermudas going through all of that, but it's usually very firm. The rough is 3 inches long, so these fairways, you need to find the fairways to get the approach shots in. The greens are like middle of the pack size, a little above average in size on the course. It was the 13th longest course on tour, and it's got the longest par threes on tour, which brings like a long iron approach type game into play. Water comes into play on half the holes, but the one thing that always stands out in my head, and I saw something on Twitter that changed, and I'll get to that in a second, but bunkers galore, bunkers everywhere. You need to be able to get up and down around the green, avoid bogeys, and a lot of that is sand saves. The 17th used to have like a giant beach along the waterfront. Saw pictures about a couple hours ago. That is gone. It's all grass. So the sand used to probably catch balls running off the side of the green. Not sure the grass is going to catch it as well. Something to think about going forward as well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. Like I said, with your long par threes, you're going to have a long iron play. Majority of approach shots are over 200 yards. Almost 40% of approach shots are over 200 yards. And that's because you have to hit certain spots to stay in the fairway. That's where Bryson took advantages because he could take stuff on and get away with it. Even Rory doesn't take full advantage like he probably could. And he still dominates his course, but you know what I'm trying to say there. So you need to be good off the tee, long iron play. The driver will come into play on your par fives because a couple you can get to. But it's just a real good test of golf that with the rough and play, and it goes to show, like, you don't have to have a 7,800-yard course, but as long as you keep things firm and fast, put some rough into play, any course can be difficult. And API can do that. Not to mention, it looks like it might be pretty windy Thursday and Sunday, which could add a whole other wrinkle to this situation. What do you have some stats you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think you did a great job there. I don't really have a whole heck of a lot to add, except for there's plenty of course history to look at. So this is not your run-of-the-mill resort golf course the PGA Tour plays every week. Depending on the weather, it can get very gnarly, with the range of 18 under to 5 under or 4 under winning the golf tournament. So definitely keep an eye on the weather. And, there could be potentially like last week where there was a massive draw early morning on Thursday that ended up I'm sure being better than the rest of the other side of that. So anyway,
definitely did. The AMPM was tremendous last week. And don't forget, if you win this tournament, you get a trophy, but you also get a red cardigan. So you got that going for you as well. Scotty can just keep adding that to every jacket he has in his closet. All right, let's get to the DraftKings for the week. And we'll kick it off in the 10K range with Scheffler up to $12,000. I'm glad they did this, so you can't just go full crazy up top. You still can. Rory McIlroy at 10-8. And the return of the X, Xander Schauffele, is back. He is $10,100 back from his wrist or his rib injury that has had him sidelined since his last TGL appearance. But here we are. What do you like up in this range? Because I'm just crossing X off, but what else do you like?
Yeah, I mean, I got him unchecked too. The course history is okay for him, but I don't know. It's a wait and see type of thing. They always do say beware of the injured golfer, so keep that in mind. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're picking between the two best players up top, Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler. I lean a little bit Rory just because he has won more recently. You know, just about a month ago at Pebble Beach, Scottie did look better, I guess you could say, at the Genesis. He finished third. It's not like he's playing bad, but I don't know. Paying $12,000 for him, it's definitely doable this week, but it's, you know, pick your poison. And his fucking win odds, both of them are ridiculous. We keep getting but when we get to that part, I have a solution potentially.
You have a parlay. Like to hear it. Yeah, just so we get to the top 20 parts. Scotty, the top 20 is like almost minus 1,000.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous. Well, I mean, this is a limited fill event, so I get that.
It's valid. It's very valid.
It's minus 300 to top 10. I mean, minus 150 to top five.
That's nuts.
I mean, Rory's plus 150 to top five, so it's a little better, but still, man. I mean, they just these golf odds. It didn't used to be like this. If you bet golf for a long time, you realize that.
Yes, it was not like this at all. For me up here, I'm crossing X off. If he does well, kudos. History's not bad, like you said. First time back in a long time. He's mentioned even like he thinks he's close to 100%, but he's taking it easy. Like he hasn't done a bunch of you know, competitive four rounds in a row type things in a while. So we'll see how that goes. Scheffler ranks fifth in my model. Rory ranks 55th, which I just don't believe with how well he's been playing. I love Scotty this week. I think everyone's going to love Scotty this week if he somehow gets – you know, if he's less than 30% rostered, I'm going to be probably aggressive on Scotty this week because I think he is that good in this field. Nothing against Rory, though. I'd like to have plenty of Rory. Like, I'm pretty much in all 20 of my lineups, I'll have at least one of them in it. That'll be pretty much the way most of my lineups will start out. Because I think, obviously, just looking at the odds, it makes sense. But one of these two guys should walk away with it more often than not. There are some 9K guys I like a lot, but I'm going to go Scheffler over Rory. Not going to talk too much longer because they both deserve just pretty much the best for a reason. All right, 9K range, Ludwig at 99. I was wondering if they'd creep him into the 10,000s, but they didn't. Colin at 98, Cantlay 95, Thomas 94, Hideki at 93, Finau 92, Fleetwood 91. Sam Burns is somehow 9,000. It seems like he's just quietly doing things this year. I don't even know what he's been up to. But 9K range, what do you like, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I had him checked off, but I just don't think it's worth it with the rest of these guys in the 9K region. I love Ludwig at 9,900. 25th and 24th in his last two starts at this event, coming off a win at the Genesis. I like him this week. And then next week we have the players, correct?
Yes. Let me triple check, but I'm pretty sure that's what we have in tap. It's like, I remember it's back-to-back elevated. I'll check for you.
Yes, it is. It's the players for sure. I like him this week. I like him next week. I will bet him to win both events. And then I will probably have a bet on him to win the Masters as well. He's just playing too good. So, and then Cantlay at 9,500, 36th and fourth in his last two starts here, coming off a fifth place finish at the Genesis. I think he's fine. JT, I think he's overpriced at 9,400, but I kind of get why. Ninth and sixth in his last two starts. He has three top tens in his last four events. If you go back to six, it's, you know, four and six. So, you know, he's playing obviously very well, been around here a bunch, but, or been around here three times. 12th is his best finish, which was last year. So Finau at 9,200, very mixed course history, but fifth at the Genesis, 13th at Pebble Beach. And if it's tough conditions Finau and Tommy Fleetwood are two guys that can definitely sneak inside the top 10, and you think that they will win, and then they'll not win come Sunday, but they'll have a chance to. Fleetwood, like I said, is another guy. So if it's windy, if it's going to be more difficult, especially than what we're coming off of, those are two guys I would definitely key in on there, Finau and Fleetwood. If the winning score is 4 under, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can definitely shoot even par.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, a lot of things can change come Wednesday if we see the weather the way they are, because if it's just regular tournament, not too excited about either one of them. But again, if it's like I said that, I can't remember what – it was Pebble, I think. We knew it was going to be windy. I made a – I don't do showdown a lot, but I knew it was going to be bad. So I did showdown. It's like Fleetwood, Lowry, Fitz, like all those guys, and I finished like 16th or something. Like, there's just certain guys that will grind it out, and you should know that by now. Ludvig, I like a lot. Now, again, I say I'm going Rory or Scotty in a bunch. If I don't, Ludvig will definitely be in there, because I'm going to try to pair Ludvig with both with those guys if I can. I think he is definitely if the first two don't win, it should be him, because he is as good as – I echo everything you said. You should bet him for this, bet him for the players. Like, especially any course where you can still bomb it straight and you get so much, like, benefited from that, like he can do. He's already light years ahead of the field, essentially.
He's so, just hitting it so straight, like tee to green. It's ridiculous.
It's amazing. He's first in this field in approach over the last – or no, that's actually Justin Thomas. wow. But par fives, he's third in the field, over 200 yards, seventh in the field. We talked about the long iron play here. He's pretty darn elite. So I'm with you on that one. I got Cantlay checked off just because he plays really, really well here. He plays well on these kind of tougher Florida courses. He just can't putt right now. So if you want to take – because he'll be low-owned in this range. Everyone's going to go to Oberg or go down a little bit. So I think Cantlay is interesting. I love JT because of the history here. We're talking iron play. He's second in my model. He's first in approach, first in strokes gained total over the last 24 rounds. He's third on the longer par fours, 450 to 500. He's actually hitting the ball very well. It's the long par threes that are getting him, and these are the longest par threes on court. So that's where things can get interesting. But everything else, he's doing – he's fifth in bogey avoidance. He's playing very good golf right now. He's just not finishing because it comes down to his putter for the most part. And then Hideki at 93. Great history here. Seventh in my model. He's quietly playing good golf. He's first around the green, which will be very important. He's 11th on approach, sixth on the par fives, ninth in bogey avoidance. Like, Hideki rates out very well. And similar to Cantlay, I think Hideki gets overlooked in this range. So – lots of ways to go up here. Ludvig is the man in this range by far. That's why I thought he should have been in the 10K range, but definitely some others to like as well. 8K range, you got Sungjae, Russell Henley, who kind of let it go on Sunday as well. Matt McNeely, Will Zalatoris, Daniel Berger, Keegan Bradley, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Wyndham Clark, and Bobby Mack, everybody. Who do you like in the 8K range?
I like the top four. Sungjae at 8,900, 18th, 21st, 20th, 21st, 3rd, 3rd since 2019 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Coming off back-to-back miscuts, one of which was the elevated event, the Genesis, where you only had to make the top 50 out of 75 people, and he couldn't even do that. So I don't know exactly where his game's at, but I kind of think he's a good GPP play for that reason. Russell Henley, the dude's not going to win for whatever reason. You know, I mean, he opens with a 63 last week, finished his sixth, finished fourth here last year. It's just if Russell Henley's going to win, it's going to be like Mexico randomly. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to win, but it doesn't mean he's not a good play on DraftKings because he's at 8,800 here. Matt McNeely, 8,700. Doesn't have really good success around here, but is just playing so well coming into this event. Second and ninth in his last two starts, Genesis and Phoenix. And then Zalatoris at 8,600, fourth here last year. His worst finish is 53rd 2 years ago, but has another top 10 about 4 years ago. Coming off the 24th at Genesis, he's just a guy who eventually will, you know, kind of come back around after the injury. The rest of these guys, it's just kind of like, I don't know if I want to pay that much for Daniel Berger at this point. I know he did play well last week, but, I mean, Keegan, okay. Hovland, he's lost. Lowry, I could see. Sepp, okay. And then Wyndham, no. Bobby Mack, you can maybe talk me into him, see what you got.
Yeah, it's an interesting section. A lot of GPP plays here because I'm with you on Sungjae. He's 19th in my model. He's played very well here. Obviously, the form's a little sketchy, but – it's an approach game thing. He's gonna, you know, he's going to grind his ass off. That's his mentality. And even though like things haven't been great, he's 12th off the tee. His approach is 63rd, which is weird, but his bad approach has been from 150 to 175. He's 72nd in the field. If you go 175 to 200, he's 36th in the field. If you go to 200 plus, he's 10th in the field. So if you go in these deeper buckets, he's actually very good in this event. He's 7th in good drive, so he's going to find the fairway more often than not. He's 12th in bogey avoidance. I think it's a great time to go back to Sungjae for those reasons. Henley is going to be very popular. Ranks 13th. I get it, but I also get what you're saying. It's like, if he wins in a field like this, I'll tip my cap, but I just don't see it. Like last weekend was the time for him to win
a golf tournament,
and it just didn't happen. If he outslugs Scotty, Rory, Ludwig, and the boys, kudos. Kudos to you. But like most of these 8K guys, I'm just, can you get in the top 10, please? Like, that's all I'm shooting for right here. And that's kind of where I'm at with Henley. Like, I get it. If you want to play him, if you do play cash this week, I would play Henley. I think that's fair, but I don't know what else you're getting out of it. McNealy's 8th in my model, and it's to what you said. He's been playing great golf. Not sure he's ready just yet for this type of event because he's really never played well here, as you mentioned. But I say that, you go back and look at, he finished 2nd at the Genesis, 40th at the Pro-Am. But 2nd at the Genesis is a pretty respectable showing in an elevated event, different type of golf course, of course. But don't hate it. Willie Z, I just can't. Like, he's played great here. I don't know where his game's at. Whenever he comes back, I probably won't have a share. That's just the reality of it. Love Keegan. I love Keegan on any type of tough course. I say it time and time again. I will play Keegan Bradley on a course that demands you to find fairways, that demands you to avoid bogeys, which he's usually pretty good at. He's like 19th in this field. He's 10th in good drives. All of his approach stats from 150 to 175 and 175 to 200 are top 30. Is 200 plus, not as great, but ironically, very good on the par threes from 200 to 225. So pick your poison. But no, that's Willie Z again. I keep reading the wrong thing. I'm an idiot. His approach game is fine. Like, but I like Keegan on tough courses. Victor Hovland's the one I keep staring at $8,300. Like you said no, and I get it. Like, missed the cut at the Genesis, which was an elevated event like this. 22nd at the Pro-Am. We look at past history for Vic at this event. 36th, 10th, 2nd, 49th, 42nd. We know he's kind of all over the place. He's in his own head, it seems like, at times. Even with the rough games over the last 24 rounds, 5th from 200 plus, 15th from 175 to 200. Bogey avoidance is horrific. Long par fours, he's not been great. Like, there's a lot of things to say no, like, get away. But at the same time, in a tournament, I don't mind sprinkling some Victor and see what you can get there. I love Shane Lowry in tough tournaments, similar to Keegan, especially if it's windy. That's a phenomenal play. Then I'll keep playing Sepp at 81 for talking approach game. First from 175 to 200. He's 5th from 150 to 175. He's 13th in bogey avoidance, 17th from 200 plus, 18th on par 5, 16th in par. Like, he's ranked 6th in my model. He ranks out very, very well. Kind of fell apart over the weekend at the Cognizant. $8,100. I am in on that. You wanted a Bobby Mack sell. I like Bobby a lot. Not planning on playing too much this week unless come Wednesday the weather gets nasty. But I'll play a lot of Bobby Mack. Because my biggest thing with him is, you know, he's 44th in good drives. That's fine. His long iron play is pretty good. His approach game is pretty darn solid. So that'd be the biggest angle for him. But I'll probably avoid for now. All right. 7K range. Let's do 75 to 79 to kind of split it up here. It goes from Tom Kim at 79, Pendrith at 79, all the way to Minwoo Lee and Adam Scott at 75. So who do you like in this range, Jesse?
Start with Akshay at 7,800. He's never played here, but 9th and 9th in his last two starts. Now the Mexico Open was one of those, but Genesis was another one where he finished 9th. Michael Kim, we talked about him. I'm pretty sure we were recording when we were talking about because we were doing the recap of the Cognizant last week. He's hitting the ball very well. I think he claims he wasn't nervous on Sunday, but I think he was pretty nervous, which I don't blame him.
Golf Channel's replayed that shot with the par 5 15th, and that looks like he might have been a little nervous on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't even talk about Jake Knapp being in the water and just completely blowing the tournament because he thought he could get it out of that water.
That better be a full swing episode on why a caddy is important right there. Like, the caddy needs to be in your ear going, bro.
Yeah, Bones was like, this is a shot that I'm having my guy go back to the other side and hit it. You know?
That's what made it stand out to me. Like, that's where the caddy really needs to show up. Be like, hey, like, this isn't it. This isn't the time.
That ball was underwater. I don't know what he was thinking. He was lucky to get it to where he could hit it again, and then he could just barely get up on the bank. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, Michael Kim, he's playing a really nice draw, and I think he was just overdrawing it, which is just what you do whenever you're nervous. I mean, you just everything gets, you know, kind of a little bit funky. It's just golf, man. Adam Scott, he's like Keegan, just on tough golf courses, in my opinion. He's very playable, and the dude's made like $1 billion playing golf, so he just makes cuts and cashes checks. And he's 7,500. And then Minwoo at 7,500. 44th here last year. He did miss the cut 2 years in a row before that. But Minwoo is playing really good right now. 11th, 48th, 12th, 17th in his last four starts. So I like him quite a bit again at, you know, 7,500. He had a really poor start last week. And I think, because I think he was in the PM, I want to say, on Thursday. And anyways, either way, he did not play well, but he battled back and finished, you know, inside the top 10, I want to say 11th. So I like Minwoo again this week.
Yeah, I had a lot of Minwoo last week, so I was not happy on Thursday. That's for damn sure. I was like sitting there wondering what was going wrong. All right. So for me in this range, Corey Connors has played well here. Recent form, not the best. Ash K's recent form is great. Not played the best here, but playing better the last few times. So I do like Ash K at 78. I'll definitely take him over Connors if you're going that direction. I love Fitz this week. Similar to my thoughts on Victor Hovland. Yes, Fitz is 42nd in my model. First, if the weather's nasty, I'll take Fitz at this price all day because low scoring events is what we want. But we look like he's 20th in the par fours. He's 30th on the par fives. His approach game is not bad. I know it's been inconsistent. I get it, but this is a guy that 49th at Genesis, missed cut at Waste Management, 48th at AT&T. Again, not great. Very aware of this. But you look at recent form here. Missed cut last year, 14th, 9th, 10th, 9th. So four straight top 14s or better before the missed cut. If you're doing tournaments, I like a player that can show that kind of upside.
There's actually course. Five. Because if you look at back to 2018, missed cut, 14th, 9th, 10th, 9th, 2nd, missed cut.
See, that's a good run. So knows his way around the track is what I'd like to say. And
nobody will play him.
That's my point. So if you're going tournament, like say you take some Chalky Scotty or Rory or Ludwig or whatever you want to do up top, you can get real different real quick with Fitzpatrick. And I think that's something to keep an eye on. J-Day, I don't know if he's ever going to win again, but he's just going to steadily plod. So I don't know if you want to pay 77 for that, but I feel rather okay that he's going to be there and like finish 30 to 35th probably. Maybe makes a run for it. We'll see. But he's played well here, played here a million times. I'm with you on Michael Kim. He's fourth in my model. He keeps playing well. There's going to be a week where it all falls apart. Who knows if it's this week. Yeah, everything lines up for what you want for this golf course. He does very well. I'd pivot to Ben Griffin, though. He's 10th in my model. Lots of shares of him last week. He finds the fairways. He's third in good drives. He's from 200+, he's 12th in the field. Long par threes, he's 11th in the field. So the key parts to this tournament, he does very, very well. So that makes me want to get Ben Griffin in there a lot, actually. And I got Minwoo checked off as well. And then you mentioned Adam Scott. Like, I didn't check him off, and I looked back. I'm like, why haven't I checked him off? Because to everything you just said, dude shows up, cashes checks. Kind of like how I feel about Jason Day now. Dude just shows up, makes cuts, cashes checks, moves on. And they're both the Aussies, so it makes sense, actually. You really break it down. All right, 7K to 74. It goes from Siwoo Kim and Sahith Theegala. How the mighty have fallen. To JJ Spahn and Cam Young. Talk about the mighty fallen. Good God. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, start with Sahith. I mean, 6th and 14th in his last two starts here. I know, like, the form coming in is not great, but he still is, like, making cuts. He hasn't missed a cut since the Open Championship.
He just locked up the first seed in the TGL, too. So, come on.
Do what?
And he just locked up the first seed in the TGL.
Oh, too. Yeah. Just locked the first seed in TGL, which is massive for, you know, yes. I'm sure that's just he chipped in. Yep. So, you know, obviously
that's carryover effect.
His wedges are on fire right now. But I think this price, I mean, like, we're getting Sahith at 7,400 here in this event. I think he's a great GPP play. Davis Thompson is the only other guy I've checked off in this range. He's made the cut twice here, 53rd and 42nd in his last two starts. He is coming off a missed cut at the Cognizant. He shot normal scores there where everybody else was playing a different golf course.
Yeah.
So it's not like he played bad. He just shot 300, missed the cut by one. 13th at the Genesis before that, 36th in Phoenix. So those are the only two guys I've got in this range.
Yeah, the only one I got checked off is Heath. I think he's going to be extremely chalky because the price is just wrong. Yeah, like you said, the current form, like he's 68th out of 70th in this field in my model. So that says a lot. But I know he's not that type of player. He's not the 68th best player in this field or worst player, whatever you want to look at in this field. So I'll go back to him at $7,400. There's a lot of arguments you can be made in this range. I'm just going to avoid it. I'll do top sevens or I'll come down to the 6K range in this event is the way I look at it. 6K range. Speaking of it, Jesse, who do you like here?
Yeah, I got a few. The pot getter.
Yep.
Yeah. Come off a second at the in Mexico. He's not very accurate off the tee, which
that's my concern.
I mean, you know, obviously, but he's just bombs it so far. It's kind of like a Bryson.
It's true.
A terrible Bryson. Let's put it that way. But I mean, 6,500, you know, we're down here. So GPP wise, I think he's fine. I think he's would be like worth a couple lineups if you're playing 20 or 150 or whatever. Saldana at 6,400, talked about him last week, 39th, third in Mexico, three straight made cuts for him. And then Max Homa, 6,300. Talk about how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I checked him off. I'll let you talk, but I'm on the same page as you right now on that one.
I mean, the course history is 8th, 14th, 17th, 10th, 24th.
Yeah.
This is a pure course history play because he's miscut, 53rd miscut in his last four events. He's missed a cut in 3 out of 4. A couple of those were elevated events.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's playing great, but he did. I think you had a quote from him like saying that he thought that he hit it well, but he just, yep, you know, whatever. So Homa at 6,300, I definitely think, you know, it's worth a stab.
Yeah, as one of the is it the Farmers or the Genesis at Torrey. His Thursday was horrible. He's playing with Scotty both days because it had to be the Genesis then.
Yeah, probably.
Because Scotty didn't play the Farmers, but the Friday round, Max basically, I think he shot like 200 or something, missed the cut still, but he said that's the best I've hit it in a long time. And even Scotty said something along the lines like, "Watch out!" Like that was the closest I've seen Max to like when Max was winning golf tournaments. So like both of them though, like, and you're a golfer, you know, it's frustrating as all hell to begin with because you know how good you can be, but it's just one minor tweak or something, and then your confidence switches. And not saying Max is going to go win the golf tournament this week, but at $6,300 for a guy that's played very well here, so a friendly environment might help. Who knows? Just again, pure course play, like you said. Like he's 66th in my model out of 70, but he's fourth from 175 to 200 over the last 24 rounds. That showed his approach game is pretty darn good. He's 27th from 150 to 175. The things hurting him is bogey avoidance. He's worst in the field, 72nd, worst in the field. He's 71st on approach overall, which is worst because his long irons is 200 plus. It's really bad. That's what's getting him. He's just not finishing holes because of the approach game. He's actually doing okay off the tee. His like middle irons are really good, but if it's something long, which if you think about it, he played the Genesis, he played Farmers, so that's a handful of rounds recently. And then probably played over in, he might probably even play Hawaii. So a lot of these stats go way back as well. So that just, yeah, I'm with you. I get it if no one wants to play him, but for $6,300, that lets you do a lot with your lineup, folks. A lot with your lineup. Seabez is 65. He's 63rd in my model, but I don't mind going to him. If you look at Seabez, he's 42nd at the Cognizant, 39th at Genesis, 4th at Waste, 40th at Pebbles, so 4 straight made cuts. And in this field, Seabez 44th last year, miscut 20th, 7th, 18th. So from 2020 to 2022, 3 straight top 20s. I'll take that at $6,500. Harris English has made at least 4 straight cuts here, 21st, 2nd, 26th, 9th. He's $6,600, and he's coming off a 24th of the Genesis, dead last at the Pro-Am, and he won the Farmers. So I don't mind going back to Harris on that one. Nick Taylor, he's made 3 straight cuts, 9th at the Genesis, 25th at Waste. And at this event, Nick Taylor, 12th miscut, 32nd miscut, 56. So that's a GPP play if I've ever seen it. So there are a few plays I like in here. And then P-Raj. I'm going back to P-Raj. 25th last year, miscut 38th, 57th, 24th. So 4 out of 5 cuts. And he's made 5 out of 6 cuts, 18th last week, 25th at Mexico, 3rd at the Genesis, missed cut, 22nd, 56. So four of the last five events was one missed cut, four made cuts, 25th or better in all four of those made cuts. So I'll take that at $6,900 as well. All righty, let's recap things, Jesse. So you have Rory over Scotty, you said, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'll take Rory. You take Scotty.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty. I got him. Either way is good with me. 9K outside of Ludwig, who do you like?
I'm glad you said that.
I think Ludwig's the man in that range.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think we're both on the same page there. Yeah. I'm gonna say Fleetwood. I was gonna say non-Ludwig guy anyway, so you read my mind.
So Fleetwood, I'm gonna go Hideki. Like, this is one of those tournaments where I think he can just kind of hang around, and wouldn't be surprised if he's on Sunday on the front page of the leaderboard. 8K range.
Mav.
That's a good one. I like the GPP aspect, but he's not going to be my number one play. I'm going to go with Sungjae at 89. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Akshay.
I'll stick to my comments earlier. Give me Ben Griffin in this one. I only have Sahith in this range, so you can take Sahith. We can have it together, or you have Davis Thompson. That's all we have in this range.
We'll both say Sahith.
That's a range we're pretty much skipping, folks. So the winner is in there somewhere.
Yeah, no shit.
Circle that one, folks. That's your range. 6K range. Who do you like?
I'm going to say Saldana.
I'm going to go with Harris English at 66, even though we've talked forever about Max. That's more just like a punt play. Harris actually played well here, coming in good form. So I'll take Harris at 66. If you're building the tournament lineup, where are you starting things out at?
Rory, Ludwig, and Sahith.
Yeah, I'll go with give me Scotty, Ludwig, and Harris English. See what you can put together. You might have to be in that one range we don't like to be in, so have fun. Who you got winning this thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the odds are just terrible. I mean, they really are. So I've got a potential way to and hopefully this will, like, I know in the past I think when we've recorded, I've maybe mentioned this about college basketball game that was that night. But so I'm looking at tomorrow college basketball. So maybe potentially you can get in on this. And it's Texas A&M. So they're playing at home against Auburn, the number one team in the country, just blew out Kentucky at home. Texas A&M's lost four straight or five straight, but they're playing Auburn at home, and they're only 6.5-point underdogs. So I'm going money line that they win the game, plus Rory or anybody else that you want to add on there. But for me, it's Rory, and this is only available right now on FanDuel. I'm sure by the time people are listening to this that DraftKings is slowly adding tomorrow's college basketball slate. Long story short, we can get Rory to 25-1 if we parlay those two. So that's what I'm doing.
25-1, that's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, I mean, from 7.5. And, you know, obviously you could, if you wanted to do other guys, you definitely could throw them in there. If you want to just bet Texas A&M and then yell at me later when they lose, you could do that as well. But I'm betting Texas A&M one way or the other, and so might as well throw Rory or somebody else on there. So that's where I'm at with that. Now, as far as, like, longer odds, I mean, it just sucks because, you know, I mean, like, I think Ludwig at 16 is not bad.
That's fair. It's compared to the other prices, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. I actually did Ludwig in a parlay tonight with Houston and UCLA. So those are 9 o'clock p.m. games. Otherwise, I mean, Cantlay at 28 is not terrible. It's a huge fall off, though, after Cantlay. I mean, it's like none of these guys have won anything in a long time. That's with Scotty and Rory in the event. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the worst part. Like, when you're putting your money down, you kind of want to always think they have a chance to win. Like,
right.
Obviously, anybody can win, and golf's crazy. That's why people throw a handful of picks out each week. But going deeper in the pool, it's going to take a hell of a week to pull that stunt off type thing.
Yes.
For top 20s, I'm going to take Sahith at plus 225. That just seems too, again, maybe I'm just taking the bait here in a big, big way. But at those odds in this field, there's not a lot of good ones past 200. I like that. Keegan at plus 135. I like him a lot in these type of conditions. And then I'm going to go here again with Fitzpatrick. He's plus 150 to top 20. Talked about his finishes here before the missed cut last year at five straight top 20s at this event. So Fitz at 250 seems like one as well for me. So have fun with those. See where they go. I was really pissed. I had that Kuchar top 40. He was like 33rd heading into the Sunday. He shot three over. Everyone else playing great. I'm like, yeah, you are old. You couldn't make it a fourth round. That's just because. And it was funny because I said on the show, well, yeah, if it plays tough, he's that guy that could shoot like 6 to 8 under par and sneak in there. He finished at 6 under par. Like he did. It just, that tournament got crazy.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. It was a weird week, man. I mean, like, nobody saw what happened on Thursday coming and
just set it all backwards from there. All right. Any final thoughts as we wrap up the API? Again, there's Puerto Rico this week if you guys want to go full degenerate mode, but this is for the API and got the players next week.
Yeah, definitely. These are the next 2 weeks are really good. And then
Valspar's not bad.
We're a month from the Masters, I believe, once we get to next week.
Yeah, because we'll have it goes players, Valspar, Houston Open, Texas Open, then the Masters, because the Masters not till like the what's the date? The Masters
not
is
April
10th through the 13th.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're
4 more golf tournaments.
And it's going to start getting warm outside, and we can actually leave our houses and stuff. It'll be great, man.
It's nice to go outside. I recommend it.
Yes, I agree.
But, all right, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was your 2025 Arnold Palmer Invitational Preview. Catch y'all. The show goes on all night till the morning we dream.